Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Drive In Church.
It's great to see you all.
Great to see everybody out there on Facebook. Actually, give me 1 second, I'm going to fix the camera. Glad you could all be here. Just a few announcements before we start our prayer time together. First of all, we are going to be moving back into the building as of September 6th. Everyone who receives emails should have received one that describes what it will look like when we move back into the building. If you have any questions or concerns, please give me a call. Give us a call at the office. We're going to have modified office hours. They will be from on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 a.m. until noon. So please get in touch with us. I will be coming into the church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but unofficially. So the messages will be checked even on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But if you really need to get some work done here at the church, you have a question you need answered right away, please make sure you give us a call Monday, Wednesday, Friday, between 9 and noon, and we'll see what we can do. Part of that is we'll also be working from home, so even though we won't necessarily be in the building, there will still be emails and other kinds of communication and work being done later in the day. So please don't hesitate to contact me if you need anything. So that's September 6th, and that's new office hours. And the last thing is we have started a new ministry here at St. Mark's. The original plan was to meet in people's homes, but we aren't doing anything in anyone's homes these days, right? So we decided to start the ministry by having it online. And so if you feel like you want to have more of a connection with more people in this time when we're far apart, please let us know in the office if you would like to be part of a home group ministry. Very simple. We will send an invitation. You can get on your computer at the time of the invitation. You will join a bunch of people who will also be together on the computer. There's a little bit of prayer, there's a little bit of Bible study, and there's a whole lot of talking to catch up and see how people are doing. It's about a 45-minute get-together, so it's not too time-consuming, and it happens twice a month. Once we are back together, those home groups will continue, and then they'll actually be meeting in homes. And so as we transition from meeting on computers and things like that to getting back together in person, we will let you know how that ministry is going to change. So please let us know if you're interested in being in the home group, and we'll get you all set up. Great to see everyone. Our opening hymn this morning is 518 in the Blue Hymn. Thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with the one who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Together, O God, be merciful to us and bless us. Show us the light of your countenance and come to us. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon earth. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. My salvation will be forever. Here ends the reading.
She brought them across the Red Sea. She led them through
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Here ends the reading. Morning, everyone. Great to see you all on this beautiful day. Glad you can join us. Some of you might be very aware of this. Some of this that I'm about to talk about might be you. In the Episcopal Church, many have found a home here who grew up Roman Catholic. Raise your hand if that's you. Yep. A bunch. For lots of people, it makes sense. There's all the same liturgy, saints, holy days, and occasions, Orthodox beliefs, but a little bit of a twist, right? With women's ordination and an open disposition to how we should approach difficult ethical questions. Some joke that we are Catholic-like. And it's funny, I think, because I do think that makes a lot of sense. To those raised Roman Catholic, this passage that we read today from Matthew might resonate more than with others. It's the foundation for the papacy, the Bishop of Rome. This is the rock upon which the church is built, Peter. Of course, for us, we would want to take a look at such a reading and wonder how it might apply to our lives and enhance our walk with Jesus Christ. For us, this is our context. And for this passage, like so many others, context is everything. The gospel today says they stopped at Caesarea Philippi. Why? A couple of decades before Jesus' birth, Herod the Great had built a temple near a spring in this region. Of course, in this region, springs were a big deal. The spring was built in honor of Caesar Augustus. So by the time Jesus and his disciples visited Caesarea Philippi, had been given to Herod's son, Philip the Tetrarch, who made the city the administrative center of his government. It was Hartford. It was Albany. It was Sacramento. By the time the Gospel of Matthew was written, people were likely aware that the Roman commander who led the destruction of the temple in 70, had returned with his troops to Caesarea Philippi in celebration of their victory. Thus, Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" hangs in the air at the intersection of economic trade, religion, and the power of the empire. It is a question not simply about Jesus' identity, as if getting the titles right would earn somebody an A on the quiz. It is a question about allegiance. It is a question about the foundation of one's life. What rock will you build your life upon? So yes, we have Peter identify Jesus as the Messiah, and then there's that play on words where Jesus calls Peter the rock. You might know that that's what Peter means. I see a Peter with us today. He's like a rock, not hard in the head like a rock. It is the rock upon which the church will be built. But to flesh this out a bit more, we can look to our passage from Isaiah today. It says this, "Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended." Words like listen, look, lift up your eyes, they help craft this whole passage. We have many examples in Scripture and even in Jesus' life given to us in Scripture where people are asked to look, listen, or hear. Scripture asks us to focus our attention. Usually, it is because it is not present, our attention, as God would have it. Usually, we need to repent or turn from one way of being to the way God intended, whether that be the nation of Israel, as we see in Isaiah, or individuals, as Jesus often asks. And this becomes a challenge to us. What do we pursue? How important is it that we might be righteous, or in other words, right in the eyes of God? Try this exercise. Ask yourself, what is at the top of my ethical list? For example, maybe the most important thing for you is personal freedom, then kindness, and then generosity. Maybe for you it's allegiance to others, supporting family, and being nonviolent. In that order, spend some time and see what your gut says. You already know the answer. Maybe even do it now. Maybe you already know. Then challenge yourself with the question, where or how does God show up on this list? Or how close to the top is God? Another way to ask might be to use the words of Isaiah, which asks us to pursue righteousness. Or the words of our gospel today, which says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Is it a priority to live as God is calling, or have we allowed our ethics to be formed outside of our faith practice? It certainly happens. Haven't you heard people say that it's okay to earn all the money you want, and that's all that counts in life? Haven't you heard people say freedom is the most important aspect of life? Is it? Am I free if you are in pain? Is it okay to receive money in excess of what I need, knowing others are suffering? So much of both the gospel and this Isaiah passage mix heaven and earth together, such that one might reasonably wonder where each ends and the other begins, which would be the point. So often we have taught, either directly or indirectly, that the Christian message is that we die and go to heaven, as though it is something to be achieved, like earning a free trip to paradise. We consider it a place in the afterlife. But But passages like the ones we have today challenge this notion and ask us to consider something more along the lines of that expression, heaven on earth. In other words, what is the kingdom of God? Can we achieve the kingdom of God? Where is it? How does one experience it? I remember teaching at an Episcopal school. It was a K-8 school. It was a lot of fun. I had to ponder these questions when they were in the kindergarten class, a group of 5-year-olds. So I asked, where does God live? And of course, the answer was heaven. And then I asked, where is some place that God does not exist? And of course, the answer was nowhere, because God is everywhere. Everyone knows that, the 5-year-olds all said. So if God lives in heaven, and God lives everywhere, where is heaven? Everywhere. We know this, of course. And yet people can't help but feel there is another place on the other side of the Jordan River. There is a Mount Zion waiting for us all. However hard we might try as a species, we seem to fall short of a glory we feel exists for us. Somehow, instead of putting righteousness or love at the top of our ethical list, we seem to put other things which don't seem to get us to the promised land. And so we return to Jesus' question and Peter's answer. We have no power in ourselves to save ourselves, but we know someone who does, Jesus Christ. And even though Peter gets so much wrong, he gets this right. And because he gets this right, Jesus says the church will be built upon him, upon his faithfulness, not his perfection. Like Abraham and Sarah, we are not called to be perfect, but to be faithful. Remaining faithful throughout life, and particularly in difficult or tempting times. Remaining faithful in those times and in life is righteousness. Remaining faithful looks like loving one's enemies and caring for those in need. It looks like being a good Samaritan and joyfully sharing good news like the woman at the well in John's Gospel. It looks like jumping off a boat to swim ashore to say, I am sorry for betraying you 3 times. Please forgive me. It looks like the last person you showed compassion. The last time you donated to a good cause. The last person you stood up for. And the last time you stood against an injustice. Each time we do this, we are a rock upon which God builds the church. Each time we do this, we dwell in the kingdom of God. Let us pray that through the power of Jesus Christ, our rock and our salvation, which will never fail, we might always dwell in such a paradise. Amen. Thank you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Lord, let your way be known upon earth. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten. Create in us clean hearts, O God. We pray especially this day for those who are sick or suffering, Maria, Zoma, Marilyn, Clint, Peter, Kevin, Terry, Rich, Janet, Nancy, Frank, George, Carolyn, Mary, and all whom we mention now either silently or aloud. We commend to you all who have died, especially Nolan, and all whom we mention now, either silently or aloud. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples, to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. together. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.